From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. The Idaho legislature has a new school choice proposal this year. It would give out tax credits to parents who enroll their children in private school. Now, some say this will take much-needed money away from public schools, especially in rural areas of our state, and that there are other solutions to creating better school outcomes here in Idaho. We are taking a deep dive into school choice with conversations about how this would impact children and parents, public and private schools, as well as charter and religious schools and taxpayers and educators. School choice is a big issue, and we are just starting to scratch the surface of it. So today, we've asked Representative Lauren Necochea to join us. She is the House Assistant Democratic Leader, and she is the chair of the Idaho Democratic Party. I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, Lauren, what do you think of the current school choice proposal in the Idaho legislature that would give out up to $5,000 in tax credits for each child to attend private school?
Well, Idaho is already last in the nation for per student funding. We're struggling to retain qualified staff, and we know we have over $1 billion in neglected facilities needs. That means kids are facing overcrowded classrooms, leaky roofs. In Pocatello, there was a tragic case of most of a high school burning down because of unaddressed electrical issues. So this isn't a luxury issue. This is about just the safety of our kids. So in my assessment, we do not have a dime to spare, let alone $50 million to subsidize private religious and for-profit schools.
Would you vote against this bill as it stands right now?
Absolutely. With no qualms, we can't afford it, and there's just no return on vouchers. We know from other states, and certainly by the way this kind of first come first served tax credit is designed, that vouchers end up flowing to the people who need the help the least, the parents who have already made the decision to send their kids to private school, and then would then just get this subsidy. They would get it, a check in the mail, and to help them pay for it, while our public school system is really struggling, and so we just don't have the funds to set up a separate, shadow system.
So, Representative, my question right now, how this bill stands, is since it's this tax credit of $5,000 and it's first come, first serve, my understanding of how tax credit works, and please correct me if I am wrong, is that if you want to put your child in a private school, even with a tax credit, you're still going to have to pay that tuition up front. And then you get that tax credit. So if my understanding is correct, would it not be difficult for people who cannot afford to send their children to private schools still be able to send them to private schools if they have to pay up front?
Well, that's right. And there is a part of the bill that it's $10 million set aside to give families that boost early on, but then it would just revert to a year-end tax credit, in the subsequent years of implementation. And when I look around my city and see what private schools actually cost or charge for tuition, it's, $10,000, $15,000, $18,000. You really see that the kinds of families that are going to be able to fill in the gap are already going to be higher income families. But the problem with the first come first serve tax credit is, again, the families who have accountants or who are really savvy about how, the tax system works, they're going to be at the front of the line. And so they're going to be the ones who are most likely to take advantage. And then, so we really don't have a difference in what students are experiencing. So, we have a certain number of students in K through 12 schools, and maybe some of them will get to move to a private school versus a public school. Most of them will have been in a private school this year, and they'll go to a private school next year, and will have spent a lot of money. Whereas we could put a ton of money into smart investments that Idaho is not currently making that really would make a difference in student outcomes.
So let me talk a little bit more about that with you, because you recently wrote an op-ed suggesting that there is another option out there. And you wrote about community schools. So first off, tell us, what are community schools?
Community schools are one of many smart investments we could be making in the state. And, community schools come to mind, but I could also, probably easily list 10 things that would be better investments in helping our kids succeed. What I love about community schools is that they're locally designed, and they involve having a community school coordinator who partners with nonprofits and other, you know, public sector services in the community to help make sure families who need help, whether they're facing eviction, they're facing the end of the month and there's no more food in the cupboard, whatever the service may be, they can get those connections to community resources.
So community schools are not public schools, but they're not private schools because there's no tuition.
Community schools are a model. So any type of school could decide to become what's called a community school model. And it's a model around engaging parents, connecting families to community resources, making sure teachers are supported and mentored and delivering, you know, first-class instruction. So there are different pillars of community schools. It's just like, you know, it could be your neighborhood public school, but it's just stronger and it has this additional facet of really thinking about how the school and the families interact in their with their community and how can those connections to resources be made.
Okay, so when and where did communities begin here in Idaho, and how many are there right now?
I don't have the title off the top of my head. We have a new federal grant that Idaho was awarded to expand them, but they're in all kinds of communities now. They're propping up more in rural communities, but we need more of that support so that more rural schools can have access. And I know they started with the Boise School District.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you saw the difference in a community school because you said firsthand your children went to an elementary school. So a community school that was an elementary school. So you've seen how this can help in a community. So with that said, you've also talked about the Marsing School District as an example of how well community schools work. Can you talk about the difference that this type of model has made in that community? Because, you know, it's kind of outside of that Boise bubble.
Yeah. So community schools bring the community together to confront the challenges that families are facing so that it's not just the school alone. The school doesn't have all of the answers, but there might be, you know, a partnership with a faith-based food bank who helps stock the school pantry so that kids don't go hungry and they can take some food home in their backpacks. When it comes, I mentioned, you know, we have a lot of students, you know, kind of troubling numbers of students facing homelessness, and just this really tight housing market is really challenging for families. So the community schools coordinator could come into contact with a family who's had a financial shock, can't make rent, but they're able to connect them to a nonprofit who can kind of give them a boost and help them through that situation and hopefully prevent an eviction.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about bringing all of our resources to bear.
So I only have about a minute left with you. So with that said, very quickly, do you have data on how community schools have affected things like academic achievement and student attendance?
We know this is a proven model boosting academic achievement. We also know if we put $50 million into preschool, we would have kids who are ready to read on day one of kindergarten. We know if we put $50 million into home visiting services that coach parents to set goals around, you know, education and jobs, that leads to better financial security for families. And then those kids do better in school. And those families are less likely to fall into the cycle of child abuse and neglect. So there are so many smart, proven investments that have evidence behind them that we aren't doing in Idaho, or we certainly aren't doing enough of. And that's why it's really sad to see, you know, $50 million potentially go out the door to something that's not going to help kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, we really appreciate your perspective on this, Representative, and I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.